We will turn, please, to Genesis 41. Genesis 41. Genesis 41. And we're taking this morning as our text the words of the verse 9. Verse 9. After Pharaoh had his dream, none of the wise men could help with the interpretation. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. I do remember my faults this day. We'll seek the Lord's face together in prayer. We need the Lord's help as we come to the scriptures. Let us each pray that the Lord will have a word for us. And may this time not just be dreamed away, but may we know the Lord ministering to us. Our gracious Father, we look to Thee, that Thou wilt be pleased to take these words before us and apply them to our hearts. And again we pray that this will not merely be a story to us, but Lord, that we will be strengthened through Thy word. These things have been given for our good, and therefore we pray that that needed help of the Spirit of God will be given in this season. So, Lord, come and give that help of the Spirit of God, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. At the beginning of 1951, A.W. Pink, as he wrote to those that subscribed to his magazine, made a very interesting observation. He spoke about the first five references to remembering in the Word of God. And he pointed out that these first five references to remembrance in the Bible all refer to God remembering. So God remembered Noah. God said that He would remember His covenant. God said the rainbow was there as a symbol of God remembering His covenant. God remembered Abraham. God remembered Rachel. And the number five is often associated with grace. As we think of these first mentions in the Bible of remembrance, God remembers. God remembers because He is gracious. But the next mentions of remembrance in the Bible are in relation to man. And they stand in contrast to those first five dealing with God remembering. Man does not remember. Man forgets. The number six in the Bible often speaks to us of man. We see that often in the book of Revelation. We also see it, of course, at the very beginning of the Bible, the sixth day, man was created. And so the sixth mention of remembrance is in Genesis 40 and verse 14. And though it's not translated in the Authorized Version as remember, it is the Hebrew word remember. You'll see that in the margin. So Genesis 40, verse 14. But think on me. This is Joseph speaking to the butler. Think on me or remember me. When things are well with you, when you're back in the palace, remember me. Make mention of me unto Pharaoh. And those words translated, make mention of me to Pharaoh, they are very literally, remember me to Pharaoh. Bring my name into his ears that my name might be remembered in the palace. Verse 23 of that chapter, yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph. He was told to remember. He didn't. And so then we have in chapter 41, verse 9, after 2 years, then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. And so God's remembrance is perfect. God is faithful. But in contrast, man is unfaithful. Man has, from the fall, a memory problem. And when I speak of man's memory problem, I'm speaking especially of man's problem in remembering spiritual things. Of course, memory loss on the wider scale is a consequence of the fall. Remember how in Romans chapter 8, that chapter describes the great downward spiral that there is in creation. Creation is under this bondage of corruption. And we are to expect then that things will get worse, not better. And people spend much energy trying to make the world a better place. Well, physically, the world will continue to degrade. There will be an increasing problem with genetics. Now, of course, there are also environmental factors that contribute to memory loss. But the fall of man has affected every part of our being. Our wills are affected by the fall. Our conscience has been affected by the fall. Our memory has been affected by the fall. And so prior to the fall, Adam and Eve had perfect capacity in their memory. Imagine being able to recall everything that you have ever seen, everything that you had ever read. That has never been known since the fall. So with the fall, in relation to memory, there has been a loss of capacity. We don't remember everything. Some of us remember very little. And there's a loss of integrity in the memory as well, in that we tend to remember the wrong things. And so if we see something vile and foul, we have no trouble remembering that. In fact, we battle to forget it. When someone wrongs us, we have no trouble remembering that. But when it comes to the things that are good, when it comes to the things that are honourable, so often we struggle to remember. And in particular, we are forgetful of the things of the Lord. In Jeremiah 2:32, the prophet says, "Can a maid forget her ornaments, or a bride her attire? Would a young woman forget her jewelry? Would a lady that is married forget what her wedding dress looked like?" And surely the question has been asked to say we would be surprised if that was the case. The Lord, speaking through the prophet, then says in Jeremiah 2:32, "Yet my people have forgotten me days without number." And my people have forgotten me days without number. How could there be such forgetfulness? And yet, this forgetfulness is not just something that we occasionally see. It's not something that is occasionally experienced by God's people, but it happens frequently. There is a frequent forgetting of the Lord. And surely every Christian, if we're honest before God today, we know this to be true in our own hearts. There's that forgetfulness which is demonstrated in prayerlessness. There's that forgetfulness that is demonstrated in laying aside the Word of God. There's that forgetfulness, perhaps, that's demonstrated when we come to pray and our prayers are just requests, and we are not filled with thankfulness unto God. It ought not to be so. Last week I showed you that the restoration that the butler experienced, the restoration to service, is a great reminder of grace. And so you and I were created to serve God. Sin caused us instead to serve the devil. What has grace done? For those that have experienced grace, grace has restored us to the service of the Lord. We come before God on the basis of what Christ has done for us. And yet so often we're like the butler. We read this account and we say, how could he have been so forgetful? And yet so often we are guilty of the very thing that the butler was guilty of. He went on for 2 years in forgetfulness. We may live for longer than 2 years in forgetfulness of God's great grace. But today I want us to come and consider this great confession in verse 9, where the butler said unto Pharaoh, I do remember my faults this day. He confessed his forgetfulness. I want to see, first of all, the accuracy in this confession. The accuracy in this confession. He said, I do remember my faults this day. Now, the Hebrew word that's translated faults here is a word that we talked about last Lord's Day, where at the beginning of the previous chapter, it is translated as offended. That is, the butler and the baker, they offended Pharaoh. And I explained to you last Lord's Day that that is actually one of the words for sin. Fallen short. So they failed to come up to Pharaoh's standard. What is sin? Man does not reach God's standard. And here we have another way in which this word for sin then can be translated. Fault. Fault. Sin is guilt before a holy God. And the butler here is not so much speaking about his faults before the imprisonment, but he's speaking about the fault since he was restored. I confess my fault. I have forgotten about Joseph. I have not told you about Joseph. I do remember my faults this day. And so the words of the butler are really a remembrance in his mind of the very thing that Joseph had said to him. And so when Joseph gave him the interpretation of the dream, you're going to be restored to your butlership, Joseph had said, make mention of me. Remember me to Pharaoh. Think on me. Remember me. He had failed to do that. Now, why had Joseph made that request back in chapter 40, verse 14? Some condemned Joseph for saying those words to the butler. And they suggest that Joseph was becoming a little bit frustrated. And he was trying in desperation and even in manipulation to have the fulfillment of his dream. I don't believe that's the case at all. What Joseph was doing here was making use of means that God had ordained. And here was a man that was going back to the palace, and Joseph was making use of the means. Present my case before Pharaoh. I've been wronged. I should not be here. So if we're to fault Joseph for saying, tell the king about me, that would be to fault the Christian that goes out preaching the gospel. We know that God had ordained his time for when Joseph was to be brought before Pharaoh. But Joseph didn't know the time. We know that God has ordained that sinners will believe. We don't know who will believe or when they will believe. Our duty is to make use of God's appointed means. And that's exactly what Joseph was doing here. And in fact, God honored him for doing so. And so the butler did not tell in the time frame that Joseph had thought of. But those words that Joseph had said, remember me before the king. 2 years later, the butler did remember them. And he did bring them before the king. But coming back to this matter then, Joseph said, remember me. The butler had not. It all comes fully now back into his mind. He says, I'm at fault. I have sinned. He was at fault before Joseph. He had forgotten the one that showed kindness. He was at fault before the king. Surely during that 2-year period, Pharaoh was in need of wisdom that he could have been in need of Joseph during that time. The butler had faulted the king in not speaking about Joseph. In that way, he was at fault before the whole nation. What I want to emphasize here is that the butler says, I remember my faults. And so he doesn't say, I remember your faults, Pharaoh. Or I remember the faults of anyone in my service. No, he says, I remember my faults. There are no excuses here. He confesses freely, the fault and the guilt is mine. No longer any cover-up. And often we're not good at that. When there's fault, even if we take a little bit of ownership, we're always wanting to divert the blame onto others. But the butler laid the blame where the blame was. I am at fault this day. Now, how many there are even who are in the wrong place spiritually, and they want to blame everybody else. They want to blame the preacher. They want to blame people in their family. Others in the house of God. And those people may indeed have their faults, and they do. But ultimately, if you're not in the right place before the Lord, the fault is yours. It's time to own the fault and get before the Lord and cry to him for mercy, that there would be a putting right in your Christian life. The Lord knows that we are prone to forget him. You think of the fourth commandment. Remember how it is stated in Exodus chapter 20. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, why is that verb remember used? Why is it not just keep the Sabbath day? Surely the way it's worded is emphasizing that the Lord knew that when the commandment was given, God's people would be prone to forget it. And therefore they need to be reminded to remember it. If you turn with me then to Deuteronomy. And Deuteronomy and the chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5. And we have here a reflection as to where upon the Ten Commandments. And so the same Ten Commandments are listed, but sometimes there's a slight variation in the wording, and that's true concerning the fourth commandment. So Deuteronomy chapter 5 and the verse 12. It says there, keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it. And so the word remember is not used here in this verse, but rather it's keep, observe it. Put a hedge around it, the Sabbath day to sanctify it, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. The same argument that was used in Exodus 20 is used. Verse 13, 6 days shalt thou labour and do all thy work. And remember, that argument was built on the creation argument. So God created everything in 6 days. The seventh day was a day of rest. God did not need to rest. God was setting a pattern for man. Man needs a day of rest. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And so then there are the 6 days of labour, a day of rest. And if you look with me then in verse 15. And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand. Remember, thou wast a servant. And so though in verse 12 the word remember is not used, The word remember is not forgotten here. Why were God's people to keep the Sabbath day in the Old Testament? And what was to motivate them to remember to keep it? They were to remember their slavery. So they were to remember the pattern in creation. And that is showing us that the commandment is showing an example for all time, not just for the Old Testament period. But God's people in the Old Testament then were in particular to remember that they had been in bondage in Egypt. The Lord had taken them out. The Lord had not left them in that slavery. And if you know the book of Deuteronomy, this is one of the themes, the theme of remembrance. Four times in the book we have these words, remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt. Remember your slavery. And the words then come, but I redeemed. You were redeemed, you were set free. Now what's the lesson that we can draw from that for ourselves today? Some speak of how we are to remember our history. We are to look back and remember great things that the Lord has done in our history. Times when this nation and others were brought, as it were, to their knees. They were about to be destroyed. The Lord intervened. Remember the Lord's intervention in your history. We are to take lessons from history. Otherwise, of course, we are doomed to repeat the errors of history. But chiefly, this relates to us in the area of redemption. God's people were in slavery in Egypt. And we are to remember that we were slaves to sin. To Satan. God's people were set free through the shed blood and the application of that blood, the shed blood of the Lamb. We have been set free through the shedding of the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Set free. We are then to remember. Remember His day. Remember the things of the Lord in general. When the children of Israel came to Sinai, remember after the Ten Commandments were given, Moses was still up the mountain. Remember they came and they said to Aaron, make us gods. Aaron formed the golden calf. The psalmist speaking about that in Psalm 106:21 says they forgot God, their Savior. What an awful thing. To be brought out of Egypt, to be so miraculously delivered at the Red Sea, and they soon forgot God. How could it be? And yet their sin is ours. We're quick to forget God. We see that theme of remembrance in the Sabbath day. We see the theme of remembrance in the table. Remember the Lord said concerning the Lord's Supper, this do in remembrance of me. Why are we to have the table? Because we are so prone to forget. The Lord has given us the table that we might be continuously then in remembrance. So here the butler said, I remember my faults. May it be so today that we remember our faults. That we remember our forgetfulness. I want to emphasize that these faults were the faults that came after His restoration to service. And taking the illustration then that I used last week, these faults are not so much speaking about the faults of our unconverted days. These faults are speaking of our faults after conversion. The faults of the butler prior to his imprisonment, when he offended the king, they led to imprisonment. And so by our very nature, we were in bondage. But we've been restored to service of our great King. But praise God, the faults that come after our conversion, they do not put us back into prison again. But they do affect our fellowship with the Lord. They do affect our usefulness for God. Here we can take this comforting thought that while we have been at fault, the King of glory has not cast us off. He continues to draw us. He continues to hold on to us. And while we see here then our folly, let us take hold of grace afresh. So there's the accuracy in this confession. I want to see then, secondly, the circumstances that led to the confession. Why was it that the butler now said, "I remember my faults"? Well, surely, first of all, he encountered a man with the same condition that he had previously. He encountered a man with the same condition that he had previously. That is, he came to hear about Pharaoh, who had a dream, a very disturbing dream, two dreams in fact, very disturbing dreams, but he didn't know the meaning. He was very sure that there was a meaning, but he didn't know what it was. And the butler then remembered that he had been in that similar situation, where he had a very disturbing dream, but he didn't know the meaning. But then also, he encountered a man whom the world could not help. And so here was Pharaoh. He was in this dilemma. But none could help him. He called the wisest, supposedly. He called the wisest in the kingdom. The king's advisors, the king's magicians. I'm sure there were the priests of the false religions of Egypt that were called. Not one could help. Maybe even the butler, before he had spoken to Joseph, had talked to others and none could help him. But certainly the butler knew that none in the palace was able to help Pharaoh. What will bring a change in us in relation to forgetfulness is if we see today what the butler saw that day. You see, isn't part of our forgetfulness demonstrated in unconcern for those that are lost? What is one of the great demonstrations of forgetfulness among Christians today? It's that there's so little evangelism. The fact that we have so little concern for the ungodly is a demonstration that we have forgotten the greatness of God's grace toward us. If the message of grace truly thrilled our heart, then we would want to tell others. If what the butler had experienced really thrilled his heart, that he had been brought out of prison, restored to service, if that really had grabbed hold of his heart, he would have told others about it. The fact that he was silent is really showing us that he was indifferent to something that was not a matter of indifference. So what is going to change us? Well, if we encounter lost souls all around us and get hold of this, that they are in a situation that was ours prior to our conversion, that they are lost in need of the gospel, if we see that the world cannot help them, they will run to this one and that one for help. They will turn maybe to false religion, works religion. They will turn to philosophers and psychologists. But ultimately, what they need is the Lord's help. We are to see that. Though that our eyes would be opened to see the need of those around us, the butler had been guilty of great ingratitude. When Spurgeon preached on this particular theme, he spoke of Jesus Christ being our friend. Remember how he is the friend of publicans and sinners. And Spurgeon was saying that though the interaction between the butler and Joseph may have been short, we don't know how long that was. Certainly there was a period of time that Joseph had served the butler. But Joseph had proved himself to be a friend to the butler. The butler was ungrateful as far as that friendship was concerned. And as Jesus Christ has been to us the friend of sinners, how often we have been forgetful. Ultimately, it is not just seeing the loss that will restore us to remembrance. We must get a fresh sight of Calvary. It's the cross that ultimately is what motivates us, that truly shows us our state. And surely this day, as the butler stood before Pharaoh and said, "I remember my faults," he now remembers again the dream and the dream of the cup. That presentation of the cross, as it were, is before him afresh. May we be drawn to see Calvary afresh. There's the circumstances then that led to the confession. And I want to see, finally, the sincerity demonstrated in the confession. In verse 9, "Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day." When the butler spoke these words, he didn't just walk out of Pharaoh's presence and go back about his daily business. But the butler put the matter right. He began to talk to Pharaoh about Joseph, as he was supposed to do 2 years before. You see, very often Christians can be challenged in meetings. They can be challenged in their reading of God's word. And they may even say with the butler, "I do remember my faults this day." And they make that confession. But they go away from the meeting, or they go away from their time spent with God in secret, and nothing has changed. There's a problem then with the sincerity of the confession, isn't there? When is sincerity demonstrated? When we actually put right the things that we have been wrong in. And so if it's a matter that is brought to our attention that is our fault, then the sincerity will be demonstrated in putting it right. May we today be brought to remembrance. I've been thinking especially today of God's people. But isn't unthankfulness, isn't forgetfulness one of the great sins of the unconverted? Paul mentioned that in Romans chapter 1, that those that turn to idolatry, they are guilty of unthankfulness. They worship part of God's creation instead of the Creator. They become vain in their imaginations. The sinner is unthankful. The sinner is forgetful. But isn't it good that we can come back to where I began this message? That God remembers. God remembers. God remembers his covenant. God remembers his promises. In Psalm 77, there's a series of rhetorical questions from verse 7 to verse 9. Will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Has God forgotten to be gracious? The answer, of course, is a resounding no. God has not forgotten. And whether you're here today, one that is converted or one that is not converted as yet, God has not forgotten to be gracious. His arms today are open wide. As the father in the prodigal, waiting for your return. And may you run then to the one that is not forgotten. The prodigal, for a long time, had forgotten about the father. The father never forgot the prodigal. May you run to those waiting arms today. Run afresh to God's grace. May the Lord take his word and bless it to our hearts. Amen.